You're listening to AgentCast, Season 4, Episode 4, Metamorphosis. Dean discovers Sam's dark secret. Meanwhile, the brothers hunt a man who has an insatiable appetite that could lead to the eating of human flesh.
Welcome back to AgentCast. I am one of your newbies, Paul Mackey, and I'm here in my living room in Elk River, Minnesota with my lovely wife, Darcy.
Hello.
Not eating human flesh, but eating chili. As far as I know, it's not human flesh.
It's cooked.
Well, it's cooked.
Cooked human
cooked
flesh.
Something.
Yeah. You know, the kids just got a little too rowdy. I couldn't take it anymore. You know, sometimes in the wild, we eat our young.
That's why it's so quiet.
That's right. So quiet. Quiet as the tomb, because that's where everyone is now. Nice and bleak. Okay, and we also have with us, as you've already heard from various parts of the southern part of the country, we've got Yvette in New Orleans.
Hey, y'all.
And we've got John Pavlich, our expert.
There's something crawling behind the wall in my kitchen.
Holy crap, would you like a cat?
Well,
I thought
yeah,
of ghosts but... immediately, or like demons.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think rodent, like big... That juicy rat.
It sounded big. Mm. I was in the kitchen getting myself some potato soup I had just made. Mm-hmm. And I was at the sink. Mm-hmm. And I heard it down by my feet, but behind the wall. Mm-hmm. There's this scuttering noise. And it made its way from the sink past the stove and then behind the refrigerator. So, could be a mouse, could be a rat, could be a snake, could be a raccoon for all I know.
Well, a raccoon would make a lot of racket. Like a
but,
lot
you know,
of racket. They're big.
Like it's, you know, with everything that's going on in my life, like I have no space to care about that.
Yeah.
Like I just like whatever. So there's a thing in the wall, I don't care.
There's a period of time in my life where I lived in a place that had, it was infested with roaches, just horribly. And I am, like, deathly afraid of those. And then in the attic, there were,
too,
I am. And then there were bats in the attic. And, I mean, it was, like.
You've always had bats in the attic, baby.
Which you're very funny. But, yeah, and it was just, like, this horrible time just trying to sleep in that place because of the bugs that I know were everywhere and the bats in the attic. So I really feel for you, sir. Mm. Yuck.
And I should say, we also have a second expert, Annie. She is not able to be with us today. I'm sure you could wish her well, but by the time this publishes, I'm sure she'll be a little better. It's excruciating for her to speak at the moment. And we don't want her to speak with excruciating pain while doing a podcast.
Exactly.
We miss Annie already.
We do miss her, though, yes.
We do.
Come back.
She'll be back. She'll feel all better, too. She's going to get over this.
Yay.
So for the episode today, I have my own notes written on paper with ink, like I do.
Wow.
Like I do when I do.
You killed a tree.
Yes. I killed a legal pad.
And a squid. You killed a squid for the ink, didn't you?
I don't think so.
You did, I can
tell.
How
much squid ink is available these days on the market?
Probably not very much.
Okay.
But I just thought I would throw that in there.
Okay, I might have killed a squid.
Might have.
For all I know.
I don't know.
I don't know where that ink is sourced from. It doesn't say.
What kind of pen are you using these days?
Fountain.
Squid.
It's not necessarily squid. Just because it's a fountain pen.
All those little squids hopping around with no ink. You did that.
Do squid hop?
Sort of.
They undulate.
They do when they throw them on the ice at the hockey game, right?
Right. kind of hat trick
like most
is that?
People would call that swimming.
All right, so notes.
Oh, Kitty, don't eat the chili. I was just kidding. Get.
She's just licking up the remnants.
But, you know.
You said I could have some. She's gonna
fart. It's all like beef juice and stuff she's licking up.
She's still gonna
tomato
fart.
Juice.
Still going to have spices
she
and stuff
sleeps
in it.
In our room, and it's going to be gross. I'm just telling you.
All right.
Oh, no.
So, Sam and Ruby are interrogating a demon about Lilith's whereabouts. The demon taunts Sam about all the things Sam and Ruby did in the dark while Dean was gone. Is that implying that they were, like, getting it on?
Yeah.
Yes.
And Sam seemed kind of pissed about that. I don't know if that was like, we didn't, or if that was like, well, yeah, we kind of did.
Doesn't matter.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
I know. I have my suspicions that it's...
Is he going to have a demon baby?
Demon baby.
Yes.
All right.
Absolutely.
I want to watch that one.
Mm. But it can't really work that way, though, because, I mean, it's just human biology issues. Now, what I do have questions
but
about that. There's,
maybe not.
Well, but my question about that is it's not. She's not – she's possessed someone. So, in other words, Sam is repeatedly raping someone who, according to what's-her-face last week, is still sitting there watching the whole thing happen.
Oh, Dan, that's horrible.
If he's really doing things with her.
He is.
Oh, gross. And they're going to have a – demon baby.
Well, I don't know about that.
They're going to have definitely a demon baby.
Where do you think demon babies come from?
I can't wait.
But, where do demon babies come from?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a demon stork or what?
I wish Annie were here for this conversation.
I know she'll listen.
Demon baby.
Are you doing demon babies to the theme of Muppet
Babies?
Make your
nightmares come true.
Okay.
Sounds like a really good sitcom.
What would Nanny be in the Demon Babies cartoon?
I don't know.
It would have stripy legs, but it would be just stripy legs, not socks. Okay. Whew. Sam uses his powers to drive out the demon with Ruby looking on approvingly. But Dean, outside the window, also sees it all. End cold open. Yeah, I
was super lost when I was watching this. I was like, what the hell is going on? I couldn't figure it out. I mean, I got it eventually, okay. But like the cold open, just I was like, what?
So moments later, after the flapping of ravens and all that, Sam and Ruby trade remarks on how good that felt. No more headaches. Dean enters demanding answers and re-meets Ruby, attempts to reintroduce her to her knife. Sam separates them and sends Ruby off with the injured guy that Sam had forced the demon out of. And Dean storms out.
I'm pissed.
Yeah, everybody's pissed.
This is Keanu Reeves look. I'm pissed.
Bye. See you later.
Later at the motel, Dean begins to pack to leave Sam and Ruby on their own. Then Dean moves to fisticuffs. Gives him a couple of good licks to the face. Kitty.
You really should not have let the cat eat the chili pot.
Is that what that is?
Yes. Now she's going to gallop around.
Kablamo, excuse me again. Must have been that bean I had for dinner.
All right. Yeah, well, she wasn't even being chased by the cat. The other cat
well,
was
the other the... one's coming to chase her now. We're in trouble.
All right. Okay. Sam points out that when he drives demons out, it doesn't kill the victim while the knife pretty much does. Sam claims that Sam claims that he won't let it go too far, and Dean says it already has. Dean says that Castiel actually. Dean says that Kaz told Dean to stop.
Kaz.
Yes, he says Kaz said.
Really?
Yeah, in the episode, he says Kaz told me this.
Hey, can Sam see the angel?
Sam hasn't met Castiel yet, right?
No, I don't think so.
No.
And they keep saying,
"Ooh, that's a good point."
And they keep saying in the Supernatural Wiki commentaries that he's coming to him in dreams and things. I don't know if that's actually true. Like I said, it seemed like it wasn't necessarily in a dream that it was all
Dean
happening.
Dean has an imaginary friend.
Dean has an imaginary friend?
Yeah.
That
oh
sounds...
my God, you're totally right. He doesn't exist at all.
I'm going to start referring to him as Bing Bong.
Bing Bong, the imaginary friend?
Yes, that is the official name from here on out, Bing Bong.
Oh my God!
Yeah, because he seems like such a bing bong. When
Who's your friend that wants to play? Bing bong, bing bong.
You broke it. You broke John.
I'm sorry, John. I didn't mean to break you. I've had a very long day. Abstract thought has taken over. Oh, dear.
Okay, so but
I think I'm okay.
Dean says that Kaz told Dean to stop Sam, or that Castiel would. They're interrupted by a call from Travis, directing Sam to Carthage, Missouri, to check out Jack Montgomery. And we cut to Carthage, Missouri, where Jack is masticating furiously. Who can blame him? His wife is Joanne Kelly.
She could cook.
I don't know. she played Micah Baring on Warehouse 13, but before that, she played this. And before that, she played Sarah, was Juliet in the second season of Slings and Arrows, our other podcast, the Ghostlight podcast.
I wouldn't know.
You have great memory for faces.
I really don't. Although I recognize, like, if it's like a real person...
That she is a real person.
I know, but like in real life, if I see a because like at the shop today, this gal walks in and she's like, "Hi, Darcy." I'm like, "Hi." I have no idea who you are, why you're here, but I recognize you entirely. But apparently, we had made an appointment yesterday, and I forgot.
Oh yesterday.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a long time ago.
I thought maybe it was like one of those CCO people that come in occasionally.
No,
that know you.
No, it was honestly she had been in the day before and had made an appointment for measurements, and I totally.
Sorry, CCO being WCCO, the
and
local
I have I'd
CBS
like
CBS affiliate.
Done some other dresses for her too, so okay. I just okay. totally right. couldn't place why she was there, and it was embarrassing. Because yesterday. God. I'm a wreck.
Oh, yesterday.
Jack is a pretty hungry guy. His wife thinks he might have a tapeworm. While he's brushing his teeth, his bones crack and rearrange painfully.
That happens to me
yeah,
every
and then
morning.
I was like, oh, werewolf. Werewolf.
Oh, you thought werewolf. Werewolf, yes.
Werewolf.
Back in the car, Dean has shared his time travel story. Sam reveals he's known about the demon blood dripped in his mouth as a baby. For about a year. The next day, the boys are watching Jack.
Wait.
Yes?
Yeah. Oh. Let's go back to that, because I have some questions about that, too.
Is that on camera that Sam has known about that for about a year?
And then, was that before Dean went to hell?
No, it's definitely before Dean went to hell.
Okay, so he's known longer than before that, but... And then how did he find out? Who told him?
I'm not clear on that.
I'm trying to remember. I think Ruby might have told him, but... I'm trying to remember if we've had on-screen confirmation of that. Somebody else told him, and I'm drawing a blank.
Was it not? Was it?
Well, I'm trying to remember where
Azazel.
Where did we see it the first time? Because we saw it on camera.
Yeah, that's what I'm. That's what I'm trying to remember. Like,
was that in the context
Azazel,
of? Yeah,
it was a flashback.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, well, either Azazel told him or Ruby told him. Those are my two answers as to how he knows.
Okay. Yeah. But we don't know which one at the moment.
Maybe right. It was Ruby. I feel like I should remember this. I just don't.
I guess I can't remember. So
yeah, I can't remember yesterday. So why are you guessing that?
I remember seeing it on camera, and you know that was in relation to someone finding out about it. But I can't remember who found out about it at
well,
that
now,
point.
In the previous episode,
Yeah, Azazel says something to Dean about it.
Azazel told Dean about it, and that's how Dean.
And
knows.
I can't remember the context of where we when we saw it because we saw it, and that I can't remember.
It was while Azazel was
monologuing,
possessing Skinner.
Yeah, I know he said it during while he was Skinner.
Mm-hmm.
Skinner, not that Skinner, Stingray. Which doesn't make sense to a whole lot of people either, but Stingray.
Yes.
Oh, and I've got something about that later, but I think I was going to wait until after we were got the talking point coming up here. Yeah, we'll cover that later because we're in the middle of this episode at the moment. All right. The next day, the boys are watching Jack with binoculars. He looks boring, rooting through his fridge. Jack eats fistfuls of leftover fried chicken standing at the fridge, but hey, who doesn't do that?
I totally do that.
I totally do that.
Good.
We got a foil wrapped leftover fried chicken.
Oh, yum.
Right at the fridge with the fridge open, nice and right cold. Out of the foil.
Oh, totally. It's good. Wonderful.
Yeah. I do that at the TV station.
The only thing I don't like about doing it is that.
Oh, no. Now you're going to get fired.
There's grease all over these controls. The only thing, because like I used to do that too, but I don't eat fried chicken so much anymore.
What?
What?
He's being healthy. God,
that's my favorite food.
No, I mean I like
special.
It too, but you know I.
They bring these.
Shall I tell you again about my recent health scare?
Well, there you go. Yeah. Okay.
No. All right.
You're trying to live healthy. That's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, the thing I was going to say was that, like, because I used to eat cold fried chicken, except I didn't like it when it was cold because the grease would congeal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a problem.
You know?
It can be a problem.
I kind of like it. It's like candy.
It is.
Yeah, I can't.
Especially if there's, like, a little, like, bacon grease that was in it, too. Like, when yeah. I make my own fried yeah. chicken, I have a little bacon grease.
A little bacon grease with your fried chicken.
My fried chicken.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Delicious.
I need to make fried chicken.
No, they bring these the when it's pledged week at the television station, they bring these huge, you know, foil pans of fried chicken from the local supermarket. It's donated so that we all have food during pledge and we can
Yay.
Ask for everyone's money and answer phones and things.
Cool.
So, but then that gets left there, and then when it's about, I don't know, 11, 12 at night, and I'm working my shift until 1 in the morning, it starts to look real good back there in the fridge. And there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, it was purchased. It was donated for
right.
me to eat and everybody else.
Yeah.
So.
And it was in the fridge, and so it's all good.
Yeah. All right. You ready for me to continue? I know you got the letting the dog out.
I'm walking. I'm still here. But
yeah, you're here. You can hear me.
I wanna mention something, because you seem to have bypassed this in your recap, but
maybe
the moment where he starts eating the
that's coming up
the raw meat
that's coming up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I couldn't remember if it was before.
I was
or after
gonna say
this
yeah.
Moment.
He goes for the raw hamburger, barely slowing to unwrap it. And it looks like it might be ramen noodles and Jell-O.
Yeah, it is totally gelatin.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. That was the thing I was gonna comment on, because I was like, they didn't do a very good job of like, because it clearly what's happened is like that's just a mold
yeah.
that they made, mm-hmm. and you know,
I wasn't sure if it looked stringy or not. I thought maybe ramen noodles and jelly, but
I think they did a better job with the Rosemary's Baby meat than they did with that.
Yeah, I don't think
that's
it's
a long time ago.
I don't think it's I don't think it's. I don't think there's even noodles in. Like it's. I think it's just
gelatin in a mold.
Just gelatin.
It looks like it has something in it, though, Jack.
I thought it might.
It looks like it had something solid in it.
Maybe.
Yeah. It might like for the
oatmeal
to sort of like thicken it. I guess.
I don't know. It looked like it had chunkies in it. Something right. to make the little white flecky bits.
Were there white flecky bits?
There were white flecky bits, right. but not – it wasn't right. You know, it was clearly not the right consistency.
No, it was clearly –
For that, but you know
– And it was way too like glossy, like shiny. Right. Like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe in Rosemary's Baby, she actually ate hamburger. I mean, that would have been a thing in the 60s, wouldn't it?
What, eating hamburger?
Well, tartare. Yeah.
Well, tartare is the thing all along. But
yeah, but
– But out of hamburger? I don't know.
Yeah, they did. I think it's in my like my really old Better Homes and Gardens. There's a hamburger tartare. I gotta let the dog in.
Okay, you let the dog in.
That also, sounds I think so that, gross.
I think yeah, tartare the, I sounds think gross no matter what. I mean, tartare is a raw egg cracked over raw hamburger, right?
Yeah.
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 I don't want this.
Do not want.
Missy
Do
says
not.
But yeah, I think the color was a bit off too. Like, I think it was too bright.
Yeah.
But that might have been for standards and practices, actually.
Oh, yeah, I suppose.
Well, you actually – well, it's hard – yeah, because they tend to go in one end of the spectrum or the other for standards and practices or you know, to appease the MPAA when we're talking movies, because they'll either go really, really bright so it's just like way too cartoony to be like believable. Like, oh, yeah, that's clearly – that doesn't look like real blood. Or they'll go really, really dark, almost to the point of like
yeah, where it's like black blood, yeah.
Chocolate
steak tartare is a meat dish made from finely chopped or minced raw beef or horse meat. often served with onions, capers, and seasonings, sometimes with a raw egg yolk and often on rye bread. That's definitely not what he was eating, but maybe in Rosemary's Baby they just, you know, went for it.
That all sounds awful.
That's disgusting.
And there was someone in V, the original 80s V, that ate raw hamburger too.
Did they?
But I don't remember if it was on camera or if it was like reaching for it and then they finished it or whatever. I don't know. Mm. They could have done a cutaway. Mm. Anyways, he gets most of it down before coming to his senses and sees the blood all over his shirt. The boys had washed all this and go back to talk to Travis at the motel. You don't picture our friend Travis when we say Travis, do you?
No.
No, I don't either. Travis has clearly not seen them for a long while, at least 10 years.
It's a year too late.
He, pardon?
Travis, you were a year too late. You didn't get that. It's okay.
Okay.
It was a bad Gene Levi's ad.
Okay.
In the 80s. You don't remember that?
No. Does anybody?
These guys are probably too young. I'm really old.
For what is it?
It was a Levi's ad in the 80s.
What are you talking about?
Exactly.
I'm sorry. I totally spaced for a moment.
There were these jeans ad in the 80s.
Yeah, and the line was, okay. Travis, you were a year too late, because Travis was another company that tried to like knock off Levi's a year after Levi's started.
Okay. Yeah,
so, I did. Yeah, just I'll be quiet now. Shh. Drink your vodka, lady.
I'm glad you brought it up, because it reminded me of like other like jeans ads that I do remember. You know, like the Calvin. Was it Calvin or no Guess? I think it was Guess.
Yes. Yeah, they like, did a bunch like, of different ones.
Like Brooke Shields got in trouble because she was like really young at the time and like 14 or something.
And the
line was like, nothing comes between me and my Calvins.
Yes.
But she implied that she was, you know, naked under her jeans. And it's like, what? Well, a lot of people go commando sometimes. What's wrong with that?
Okay. You were.
But it was because she was like 14. Everybody was like, ah. Yeah.
Okay. Iris Darcy, you're definitely.
Yes, Fox.
You're definitely older enough, even older enough than me, just by a little bit. Because it says that if you're old enough, you may remember the first 501 commercial circa 1981. Travis, you're a year too late.
Really? That was 1981. Well, I watched a lot of TV because I would have been 9. And that was when we had like cable, so I like never did anything but watch TV after that.
My husband and I were talking about it this past weekend. And I was telling him the story of sitting in my mom's car at a light in Anaheim. There was a giant billboard, and my sister became possessed by something. Maybe just the fact she was 11, rolled down her car window, and practically leaned her whole body out of the window as she yelled, "Travis, you're a year too late," at the top of her lungs in the crowded intersection. All right. Well, I still don't know the commercial. But
you don't know the commercial? Okay. I'll YouTube it and put it on the page for all y'all that are too young. Do you remember this? For us really old people.
Yeah, this was right before, like, because I mean, I was born in 79, but you know, if we're talking 81, like I was too young, I'm still too young to remember. So, like, probably if it happened, like
I was 9
a year later.
Yeah.
If it had happened a year later, I probably would have been able to retain it in my memory.
Okay, here, go ahead.
Because my head's full of.
Go ahead and listen. I gotta put my headphones on you though. Here we go.
Here it is.
Oh. Here it is. Commercial. You can hear it.
I shrink to fit button fly 501 jeans are cut especially for women. In the only shrinking denim that tailors itself in the wash to fit every curve, like no denim you've ever worn. Shrink to fit 501s, now in the junior department from Levi's Women's Wear.
Travis, you're a year too late!
I don't get it. I still don't get it.
That was the idea, is that you wouldn't get it you knew what the Travis Jean company was.
Okay.
All right. I'm super confused, but I hope that's taken, because it sounded really good.
I'm really sorry. I really should not have gone on that tangent. I apologize to Levi Strauss Company.
Ring the damn bell for the love of God.
I apologize to anybody by the name of Travis. Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Because that's every time they say his name, that's what I think.
You think of the jeans.
I do.
Not our friend Travis.
I do not.
Okay. It's also Evo Terra's real name. Okay, sorry. Travis explains that Jack is a Rougarou, normal human until he transforms. We cross-cut, no pun intended, with Michelle cutting her finger as Jack looks on hungrily. Travis explains the Rougarou's cravings will turn from everything to human flesh and will fully transform by eating human flesh. A monster forever.
That was a good cut makeup, though. They did good with that.
Yeah, I thought
it looked pretty good. I think I've had a cut like that.
Yeah,
I didn't get any stitches in it. I just like taped it up.
Yeah, I got a cut on my finger that was like that that required stitches, and I didn't get stitches, and so now it's grown back funny.
Yeah.
I have this little lump on the side of my finger.
I've got one of those, and then there was the time I nipped the top of my finger off with the fabric cutter at work, and I glued it back on with super glue.
What?
And it grew back.
Move along. You're gonna knock the laptop down, dog.
Well, I didn't because when you're a woman and you're working in a shop like that, they have these mesh gloves that you're supposed to wear for the fabric cutters are like it's an 18-inch razor blade, essentially is what it is.
Ooh.
And it's like cutting with a saw. And they have this mesh glove that you're supposed to wear, but when you're a woman, it doesn't fit your hand.
Oh.
Because, you know, it is a man's job. It's really hard to do.
Well, it's those chainmail gloves like they do for meat cutters?
Exactly.
Okay.
And I couldn't wear it be accurate. So I took it off, and I did. I just nipped the tip of my finger off one day, and I did. I glued it back on. And now you can see. See? See how it's, like, not right there?
Sure, that's like even more distinct than a fingerprint for if you ever commit murder.
Well, yeah, because my fingerprint doesn't match, so
yeah, it doesn't line up anymore.
It doesn't line up anymore. But
you scary.
It was gross. There's a lot of blood.
So I looked up the Rougarou because when I looked at the spelling of it, I was like, hey, that looks like French. That looks like Loup-garou, which is werewolf in French, with the loop replaced by roux.
Oh.
And it turns out that it is Loup-garou or Rougarou interchangeably in some cultures of French Canada and Louisiana.
Oh.
So Yvette was kind of right.
Yeah.
And I'd heard that there's like a Rougarou Fest every year. So I knew it had something to do with it, but I've never paid any attention. It happens on October, so I guess that makes sense, you know.
Someone is celebrating these monsters?
They've got a picture of it at a Mardi Gras. In the Wikipedia, and
yeah, I'm also looking at Wikipedia, yes. And those Mardi Gras are so crazy. So that's like the Acadian, like traditional career de Mardi Gras thing. Mm-hmm. And I've never been to one of those small town Mardi Gras before, but I've always wanted to go because apparently there's like this whole thing where you like chase a chicken around, and you've got to wear these like crazy outfits and. You do. You kill the chicken and you eat it after. That was my girlfriend piping up from next to me talking about it. But I've heard all about it.
I want to chase the chicken.
If you can catch it, you can eat it.
Exactly.
But apparently the Rougarou, they say that the storytelling of the Rougarou in that area is occasionally that it's a story told by elders to persuade their Cajun children to behave. Another variation, the beast will hunt down and kill Catholics who don't follow the rules of Lent.
Oh, gosh.
Isn't that so good? And we're in the middle of Lent right now.
Yeah, that's most stories, old like stories are like that. Or like just tales of, you know, cautionary tales of like be good or else, you know.
And I'll let Yvette share the... her favorite part of how to become a werewolf.
Yeah, if you break Lent, I think it's 7 times.
7 years in a row.
You can become a Rougarou.
I love how specific that is.
Isn't it? And also, I think that's totally true. I buy it. I've never broken Lent once. So.
And then the interesting thing is that it also crosses over into Native American folklore in a way. But the word is spelled differently in Ojibwe, but they think that it's not a native Ojibwe word, that it's actually from Native American women that married French Canadian trappers.
Okay.
And then the language reincorporated basically. but it basically means werewolf. But it's also connected to Wendigo legends that they say that it can be about the cannibalism and the Wendigo legend, the Wendigo.
That's what I was waiting for, yep.
And then it also says that there's a there's an author, Peter Matheson, who argues that the Rougarou is a separate legend from the Wendigo, and the Wendigo is feared, but the Rougarou is sacred and in tune with Mother Earth, and possibly more like a Bigfoot. So it it goes all over the place in all sorts of directions.
I love it.
That's great. All right.
That was my favorite part about this whole episode, was just learning this right now.
Yay! Yay. My favorite part of the whole episode, too.
We made the episode better by talking about
My favorite part was being able to share the song Timothy by the boys.
Timothy.
Did you listen to it, Yvette, when I linked that a few days back?
I saw it. I haven't had a chance to listen to it.
It's a good song.
It's a good song. It's
fun.
It's by Rupert Holmes, the same guy who did Escape the Pina Colada song.
I hate that song.
It's what it is.
But it's basically, if once you listen to it, it's really catchy and neat and kind of folky sounding, and it's got horns and banjos and all sorts of great stuff. It's about a story about a mining disaster, which was, you know, popular. The Bee Gees had a mining disaster song, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of that in the 70s.
Right? But, you know, if you're not listening to lyrics and you're just bopping along to it, it just sounds good. And then it got crazy, crazy, crazy requests from people. And people started at the station started to kind of listen to it more closely, and they realized that it's about these three guys that get trapped in a mining disaster, and then later on they're starving, and then later on two guys come out and they're never quite sure what happened to the third guy, and they can't remember what they did, but they came out full.
Oh, I love it.
It's really good.
I'm eating people.
We're gonna need another Timmy.
Great.
So anyway, that's Missy, definitely something here, to look for. Is
Missy, come here.
Timothy by the boys.
What's the problem, baby?
And it was banned a lot of places after they worked that out.
I would imagine.
Lots of requests, but lots of bands saying no.
Yeah, I was talking to Paul about this the other day, about how, like, okay, that song got banned for hinting at cannibalism. But, like, meanwhile, we have all these songs. Like, there's a song that's literally about how awesome cocaine is. You know, and like
purple people eater is okay, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's an alien. That's an alien eating people, not a person eating a person.
Is it really an alien?
I don't know. They said it was about the offensive line of the Vikings in the 70s.
Oh. Hey, no kitties. Get out of there. Missy.
That's different.
Don't eat the cat.
No comment. Ow.
How?
Okay.
Missy, go up, up. That is not up, up.
Okay. Back to the text that I've got written down here. Travis had killed Jack's father in 1978, and Jack was still in utero. Jack ended up going up for adoption, and Travis lost track of him until more recently. Meanwhile, at the bar, Jack is at the bar picking up lots of dietary fiber from peanuts, shell, and all. He stops an aggressive flirter from harassing a girl and then breaks the guy's hand.
This was a weird scene.
It was a little bit.
It kind of lost the message a little bit.
I think it was more sort of referencing, I mean, the episode's called Metamorphosis, so I think it was more a reference to David Cronenberg's The Fly.
Oh, yeah. I could see that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
The dog has to go.
Okay, you take the dog out. I'll keep reading.
With you, Missy.
Travis explains that that burning is the only way to take out a Rougarou. Sam enters. He couldn't help but research the creature. He found reports on Rougarous who eat lots of raw meat, but not human flesh. Travis says there's no such thing as a Rougarou that successfully followed that action. Sam says that he and Dean can talk it over with Jack and tell him what's happening. Travis says it's all instinct. They're all walking around like Happy Meals on legs. No, he says something else. I don't know what he says. Steaks on legs, I think.
No, it was porks.
What? Pork on? No, long pig is something else.
Long pig, okay.
I was saving that for people's quotes.
Oh, sorry.
Jack had been out all night, and Michelle is pissed off, but he talked his way out of it. But then he starts to get frisky, then animalistically frisky. She pushes him away, frightened. Dean, driving Sam to Jack's place, asks Sam if he is ready to do what has to be done, whether he might be over-identifying with Jack, a man with evil inside his blood, and Sam makes him pull over. They argue it out that Dean was pretty much right, that that is what Sam is doing. But Sam points out that he lies and goes behind Sam's behind Dean's back because this is a very kind of attitude. So Dean, trying to calm things down, agrees that they should talk to Jack. They tell him what's going on, but he denies the road that he's going down and sends them away.
I thought this was really, like, it was interesting because it's not something they would have done, like, ever before, I don't think. Like, I can't imagine them being like, let's go talk to him first.
Yeah, to some extent, I suppose. Oh, and Sam, at some point before he sends them off, he admits that they will have to stop him, and that he admits that someone stopped his dad back in the day. So Jack stays away from home that night, his wife leaving messages that they need to talk. He's been stalking the girl that he rescued at the bar. He heads to her window. The boys have been following him and go to break down her door to rescue her. But he caught sight of himself reflected in her window and ran off. Returning home, Jack finds Michelle bound to a chair and gets knocked out and cuffed by Travis. Travis is getting set to burn him, and it is revealed that Michelle is pregnant. Travis is set to take them both out when Jack breaks loose, attacks Travis, and bites him, transforming and eating part of Travis's neck. Then Jack sets Michelle free, and she flees, never to be seen again, ?
Yeah, I was a little... I got confused about that. I had to clarify with you that...
Yes, no, she ran off to the car and drove away fast.
That was my only sort of issue with the episode, because that seemed like a loose thread.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, she's out there...
It's like... I mean, I guess maybe we're supposed to assume that, like, after what happened, that she... like decided to get an abortion or something, but like,
I mean,
you'd think they would follow up on it, you know?
Yeah. You would think they would.
Yeah. Cause I don't know if it was clear that, was it clear from everything that was said when he transformed, before he transformed and everything, that her child would be that way too, to her? I don't know if it was clear.
Well, they were trying but if you think about genetics, there's, you know, recessive and traits, and it doesn't always go the way you expect.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's just because the dad is a certain way, it doesn't mean that it's going to go that way.
Yeah, I mean, I found that out. Remember when we had the blood, the blood scare?
Yeah.
My dad went in for surgery, and they're going over all the stuff before, you know, they put him under. Okay, this is his blood type. He's O positive, and I'm like, he can't be O positive because I'm B negative. He can't be O positive. And they're like, well, he is. And then everybody kind of looks at me. And I'm like, oh, no. So, but then, you know, after my sister, like, did a little research and everything, there are some instances where that could actually happen.
That still works out and is still true.
But, yeah, there was a moment of, but are you my dad? So, yeah. But there you go.
I have no idea what my blood type is.
You don't? You should figure it out. Yeah. It's good times to know this. I think mine is very much like my attitude, be negative. So.
Well, it's an easy way to remember it, right?
It is.
Next time I get it drawn, I'll ask.
Jack then goes hungrily back to Travis. The boys arrive and find what's left of Travis at the end of a bloody trail on the carpet. Jack attacks them. When we get back from commercial, Dean is out cold in the living room, and Sam has been locked in the closet. Sam tries to reason it out, but Jack is getting hungry again. Sam breaks free and burns him. In the car, Sam declines talking about his powers other than to say that he chooses now never to use them again. Is that likely to happen?
I mean, I know that they were trying to make the parallel the entire episode between the two, but it seems like such a stretch to me. Like, I don't think this is, like, I just didn't buy it.
The parallel doesn't work, or that
Yeah, I don't think the parallel works. And I don't think, like, because he saw this happen, he's going to be like, yeah, never again.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Of course you can't.
Although I will say, I loved the makeup effect for Jack when he transformed.
His veiny forehead. I guess it's,
yeah, and like the and well, and plus like the blood all over his mouth, like it reminded me of the 30 Days of Night comic books.
Sure, yeah,
or graphic novels, yeah. I should mm-hmm. say. Because there's like a famous cover of one of the books that's exactly that. Like a vampire with like a scowly, veiny face and like blood all over his mouth, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other point that I didn't quite get in my notes there is that at some point Jack says to Sam that his crazy friend was going to burn his wife. And Sam was like, that doesn't make any sense. Why was he going to do that? And Jack kind of just says, oh, I don't know. He's a psychopath. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's kind of doubles down on that loose thread, actually.
Yeah.
But I'm going to kind of assume that this being more Monster of the Week part of the story, that never gets resolved. We're probably never going to see Joanne Kelly on the show again or her Rougarou offspring.
No, I doubt it.
I doubt it, too.
And you know,
sadly, too bad. A little baby werewolf would be cute.
Baby werewolves are adorable.
Yeah.
So are demon babies.
Well, no, a baby werewolf got Oz.
Oh. I was just about to mention that. Oh,
that's right.
Oh, baby werewolves, baby demons. So sweet.
So cute.
So hey, that's the end of the episode. I was wondering though, I was thinking in between everything, because the last time we did the episode, we did the Dubentary and then the episode right after it, and there wasn't a lot of time to digest. But last week, Azazel seemed to imply to Dean that his goal was not actually to find a leader for a demon army. But does that kind of contradict? It feels like a retcon because of the whole winnowing down and killing off every single one of them except for one of them to unlock the Devil's Gate.
Yeah, that was just to unlock the Devil's Gate.
Right.
Now we're talking about the army specifically. We've moved on to a different phase of the plan.
Okay. Because Dean makes some kind of crack about you looking for a leader for your devil's army, and Azazel says, no, that wasn't the plan at all.
Yeah. No, he was looking for someone worthy to open the Devil's Gate at like, you know, back in last season.
Okay.
Or no.
Two seasons ago.
Yeah.
It feels retconny. I believe you that it's a different thing, but it feels retconny.
It totally does. Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right. Hey, so that's the end of the episode, though, before that. And somebody might win. And it might be Sam, it might be Dean. And our track record lately, it might be someone entirely different. But I go with Sam, in my opinion. He beats the creature, despite his reservations. And he seems to have real good intentions not to ever use his powers again, although I don't believe for a second that's going to work.
Yeah, I'll go with Sam, because he does, you know, rise to the occasion, and he does what needs to be done. So,
yeah, what the hell, Sam?
I don't know. I just Dean has Bing Bong. I can't deny it. Dean,
yeah, well, Bing Bong wasn't in this.
Nah, you're right about that.
Yeah, he wasn't in this episode.
But they talk about him. But I don't know. Okay, Sam.
And for the moment, it doesn't seem like Bing Bong is on his side. So
well,
does he
no.
have him?
Well, you know, Bing Bong, he's his own entity.
I love that that's what we're calling him now.
Well, in any event, Sam wins.
Sam wins. Did you like my art for the episode that was published this week? Did you see it?
Oh, yeah, with the curtains.
Parting the curtains.
That was great.
You didn't see that?
You know, I probably did, but Paul, you must realize that...
Well, because
you
remember during the episode I talked about how he sat back, parted the curtains, and said,
"Yeah, okay."
There you got it. Right. Okay, and I showed it to you now. All right, there you go.
Nice curtains.
Oh, what the hell do we do next?
That's supposed to be a compliment.
Feedback,
maybe. I don't know. Yeah, no, we do quotes. Okay. We do quotes before feedback because.
Okay.
I have no quotes.
I don't believe in that life.
All right, I got something.
All right. Do you?
Thanks for coming by. As you can see, I'm a little shorthanded.
That's a Robin Burge is what that is.
Yeah, it's, yep.
Most of all, they're hungry, says Travis. Hungry for what? Dean says. First for everything, but then the long pig. Long pig? Sam says, he means human flesh. Dean says, and that is my word of the day. And a couple of times later on, every time he says it, he it's like gets this little smirk, Dean does. Long pig. He kind of smirks like, hey, I was just saying a word that
proud
I just learned. Yeah.
Hey, got a new thing.
And speaking of which, Dean later on says, long pig, you know, little man-burger helper. Might have crossed your mind already.
I really like man-burger helper.
I like that a lot, too.
Exactly. Okay. Watch my back when I go to sleep tonight. All right. Well, those are the quotes that I have.
You forgot the hungry, hungry hippo quote.
Well, it's right there for you to take
if
you want.
I can't read that far.
Oh, you can't. You can see that it's there, but you can't read it?
I can see hungry, hungry
Can you pass
hippos.
Me some more rack of paw?
You're probably feeling your bones move underneath your skin and your appetite's riching. You know, hungry, hungry hippo levels. How am I doing so far? All right, there. You happy?
Polythe.
All right. Unless John has any more quotes.
No.
We've got a feedback section. We have.
Oh, no, wait, I do.
Yeah. Gross.
That's very pretty.
John's always fond of the Foley ones, the mm-hmm. water spit and the noises.
Oh, dear.
We have a feedback section. This time it is one person. Guess who? Heidi.
It's Heidi.
It's Heidi.
Yay.
Hey, guys.
She says, hey, guys. The boys are going to get charged for all those broken lamps. Good thing they usually use fake credit cards. Kaz said, quote, oh, look, they're old buddies already. That is one of the most disgusting things to me, something crawling around underneath someone's skin. You makes my skin crawl. Wonder if that's where that expression comes from. Metaphor is a little too heavy-handed for my taste in this episode. It definitely hits you over the head. Jack becomes the monster because Travis refused to give him a chance to make the choice. Really, nothing could have compared to the previous episode, but this one is just Monster of the Week. Not a great one. Until next time, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
Speaking of crawly skin.
Yeah?
Did anybody besides me have chicken pox?
Yeah, I had chicken pox.
Like back in the day?
Yeah.
Did you guys get the crawly skin?
Not that I can recall, no.
No.
Oh, I was six. I don't really remember.
Yeah, I got pretty feverish. Personally.
I got really feverish, but I remember my skin crawling. Oh.
Yeah. I got itchy like crazy.
Well, that
yeah.
happened too, but that was like after the little bumps came. So we all had chickenpox. Everybody go get your shingles shot.
Yeah, I haven't done that personally.
And I am telling you because I had shingles last summer and it was horrible. Do not get shingles.
So now are you totally over? And like, can you not get shingles
no,
again?
No, I can get it again.
Okay.
I should get one too, huh?
Remind me, what is that?
Shingles is caused by the chickenpox virus, and it's something that comes back later in life, but it's usually a really painful rash, sometimes around your middle.
Mm-hmm. And I had
but
it
like pain, like stabbing pain in your side.
It was
rash.
And it's like it's a deeper pain than you would. I mean, I like felt it in my gut. It
yeah.
was so bad.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was
wow.
wretched.
Okay.
So yeah, don't get that. It's gross, and it doesn't go away very quickly.
Either. No. The next thing we have is rating.
Rating.
I'm going to go ahead and rate first if everyone's cool with that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right.
I'd say all in all, it feels kind of derivative of the episode Heart,
mm-hmm.
the werewolf episode where. Sam, feeling bad about some demon thing that can't be controlled inside him, decides that he feels bad. Only thing he didn't do was bone Jack. But other than that, I felt like it was kind of the same story. Oh, it's something uncontrollable that's inside someone that No extra cast yell points in this one. That means a nice round 6 out of 10 high fiber peanut snacks. I didn't think it was overtly bad, but I didn't think it was enough new good stuff in it to go higher than 6.
I didn't get up and walk out in the middle like I kind of wanted to.
Oh, really?
It was. I was like, oh, for God's sake.
Going to move on to your rating now then?
Yeah, okay. I am. So okay. I'm going to give it there's no reason for this rating other than I can't get it out of my head. I'm going to give it 5 out of 10 bing bongs.
Bing bong.
Very nice. I agree with you, Darcy. I thought it was perfectly average. I didn't want to die, but I also didn't think it was any good. So I'm going to go 5 out of 10 long pigs.
And I got to say, really, the previous episode ending with a to be continued, this did not feel like a continuation.
No.
Other than, I mean, there was arc structure in there, but it did not feel like a continuation of the previous episode as much as they said to be continued. It's sort of a broad to be continued, I guess.
Yeah. Mm. One of's.
Yeah, I thought the episode was fine. Like, it's a little too, like, in the placement of it, like, it's a little too, you know, monster of the week. Kind of like, we kind of got more important things to deal with right now. You know, an angel's just showed up. But I think what really works for me is actually the chemistry and performances of the couple, mm-hmm, this week of Jack and his wife. Like, I thought those two were really, really strong. And I, like I said, I liked the makeup effects. So I'm going to give this one 6 out of 10 broken lamps.
Okay.
Very nice. Very nice. So that gives this episode a total of 5.5.
Oh, ouch.
I think that's about 5.5 out of 10.
Okay. That's all pretty right. Good.
Average.
Yeah. Perfectly average.
Yeah. Hey, John, what's our homework for next week?
Next week's homework is season 4, episode 5, Monster Movie. And we will have a commentary for this one, and I can guarantee you this is a special one.
Okay, your Skype voice went out, so you'll have to say it out loud. One more time, just the name.
Monster Movie.
Awesome.
Great.
Monster Movie. Oh, I think it's going to be a Freddy versus Jason showdown, and I can't wait.
Yep.
They don't have the rights to do that.
Well, you just spoiled me by telling me that's not happening.
Yes, believe me, they want to.
Yeah, never mind. Yeah. If there's no Freddy v. Jason, I'm not here.
Frankenstein versus the swamp.
Is it too early to go back to Hollywood? They did a Hollywood story. Is it too early to go back to Hollywood?
No, it's never too early.
Yeah, it's not that. It's not that.
Oh, don't tell me all these things. Come on.
Mothra. Mothra.
Mothra. Godzilla.
You know,
I'm making my predictions and you're shooting them down. We're all making predictions. You're shooting them down before we even get to the episode.
Shush, John. Shush. Let us dream.
Let us believe it's King Kong versus Mothra. We don't know.
Yeah, but see, when it's not that, you'll be really, really disappointed.
Okay,
so.
Bing Bong.
You
know,
yeah, Bing Bong.
Wait, why am I Bing Bong all of a sudden? You telling me I don't reel?
I don't reel?
That's right.
I don't reel.
You don't reel. Go get in your wagon. Go home.
I don't reel.
We're just kidding.
I'm going to start crying candy. And you guys start.
Oh, that's delicious.
So, no, but seriously, do you think Castiel is Dean's imaginary friend? Do you think he's not really there?
You know.
In all seriousness?
But, I mean, he did come back from hell, so there's, like, some concrete evidence. Bobby
saw him.
Yeah,
Bobby saw him before being put out by the fingers on the forehead or whatever.
Okay. That's a good point.
Yeah, and Dean does have the handprint on his arm.
There is an actual handprint on his arm.
It's not a trunk print. It's a handprint. I'm still going with the Bing Bong thing, so I think that's fun.
All right.
It's more fun. Okay.
It is. I have to make my own fun sometimes.
Well, I guess we're going to find out a whole bunch of stuff when we do our Noobentary next time.
Yeah.
And then our actual episode, possibly with a guest. I won't say which guest. Just I want to make sure that has a chance to have a time to make sure that she can be on.
Yeah.
So, anyways, female.
All right.
All right. All right. So anyways, we'll close that up for this week and say from here, happy hunting.
Bye.
Happy hunting.
Bye, y'all. Thank you.
You've been listening to IdgitCast from QuadrupleZ.com. Join the discussion at Facebook.com/IdgitCast. We love feedback. You can email us or send us an MP3 voice message. Please use the episode title as your subject line to prevent accidental spoilers. Our email address is IdgitCastPodcast@gmail.com. The theme song for IdgitCast is by Borrowed Trouble. Find the band at BorrowedTrouble.com. Lyrics and vocals by IdgitCast's founder, Allie Jones, who you can find out all about at imthewonderband.com. The closing music you hear right now is Too Good, written and performed by Jack Mangan, and is used by permission. You can find other music, writings, and discussions by Jack, as well as back episodes of his own Deadpan podcast at jackmangan.com. You can hear more from the hosts of this show. Yvette can be heard as one of the hosts of Investigating Mars, an intro cast for the TV series Veronica Mars, also available from QuadrupleZ.com. John Pavlich can be heard on CastleCast, a fan cast for the ABC series Castle at CastleCast.net, and his own Sofa Dogs podcast at SofaDogs.libsyn.com. Now you can also watch the Sofa Dogs YouTube channel at YouTube.com/user/SofaDogs. Darcy and I can also be heard on the Ghostlight podcast, an intercast for the television series Slings and Arrows, also featured on QuadrupleZ.com.